What's going on, y'all? Four transplants and a microphone. Today we are three transplants and a microphone. We got a transplant who's transplanted all over the Southeast today. She's a leadership coach. She's one of my good friends. Quick roundtable introductions, though. Jack Tompkins with Pineapple Consulting Firm.
Brandon with Sperry Data Solutions.
And our guest today, I'll let her introduce herself. Her name is Laura Thompson, and she crushes it. She's just great. She's brilliant, some would say. Her company's called Brilliant Methods and is aptly named. So she's been all over the Southeast. We're diving into all sorts of stuff today. We're just hot off the golf course, and we got a lot going on. Laura, thanks for joining us.
Hey, thanks for having me.
So tell us a little bit about, so leadership coach and consultant, right? Brilliant Methods. How brilliant are we talking here?
Super brilliant, so of course. And so what I do is I focus on helping leaders and teams work better together and make them more brilliant too.
Nice. Okay. Spread the brilliance. I like that.
That's right.
That's good. Okay.
Now, is it team leadership or HR or combination of both? Or
it's less HR because that's really more of a function. It's more about developing your leadership skills and then really developing your team, each person individually, keeping them in their zone of genius and improving productivity, communication, and even the culture across your organization.
Okay. A zone of genius. I'm still looking for that zone. I don't know. Where do you find that gem?
Funny that you ask. It's hard for you to see it yourself, but other people know what your zone of genius is. So if you don't know what it is, just ask somebody else, hey, what is it that I do that is amazing? And they can probably tell you.
Wow. Brandon, what do you think? I don't know. If I had a zone of... Not podcast questions, apparently.
You threw me off because I was thinking of something else, and then you asked me a question. I'm like...
You're like, I was thinking about hot dogs. I'm bored with this. Yeah.
I was thinking my zone of genius is making my wife mad.
That's where he's best. He's 10 out of 10 there.
Yes.
Everybody's got their strength. That's cool. So from a business perspective, what is a zone? Like, are you, like... You're a productivity nerd too. So would you say that yours, or have people told you that your zone of genius is productivity, or is it the leadership goal? Like, give us some examples here.
So when I talk to my clients and I ask them, what is it that I do that brings the most value to you? They usually say it's really these conversations that we have about what's happening in the business right now with maybe a team member or a challenging situation, or I need to have a crucial conversation with somebody. How can I approach that? And then I take what is chaos to them and what they feel like is something hard, they don't want to do it, it's challenging, it's going to turn out terrible, and we figure out a plan that they can execute, they feel confident about, and they get an actual result that's good for both sides of the situation.
Okay. Sort of an unchaoticing. That's close.
Yeah, bringing order out of chaos.
Bringing order out of... All right, she's good with the catchphrases here.
I feel like she had that in her back pocket.
Yeah,
ready to go.
Waiting for that.
Yeah.
We got zone of genius, crucial conversations, and I already forgot that one. Okay, something out of chaos, what is it?
Bringing
order out of chaos. That's right. Okay. They're memorable, but at least two out of three are memorable for me.
I can remind you.
Yeah. That's good, though. So were you?
No, I was going to say, so, I mean, some of the things I'm assuming what's happening is for management, a lot of people make it to management and don't necessarily have the people skills. They may have excellent skills and jobs and things like that, but managing people is a whole nother art that is sorely overlooked most of the time in most companies.
Yeah, it really is. What I find is that, especially in corporate situations, people are promoted because of their performance, not necessarily because of their capability of being in leadership.
Right.
And so they're never trained. And most people mimic the type of leadership that they've had throughout their experience, whether that's been at home or through jobs and work. And they don't stop to question whether or not that leadership is actually something positive that they want to continue to show up as, and they don't realize, hey, whatever I'm showing up as or whoever, I'm creating that in the people that I'm leading. Do you want to see more of how you're showing up? You know, and so one of the exercises that I'll usually take new leaders through is thinking about what their influences have been, why, and why they show up the way they do in leadership. Where did that come from? Is it in alignment with their core values? And is that how they want to be showing up? If you were reproducing people like you and you had to lead them, would you be okay with that? Like, and if not, then you have the choice to change that. And it's through leadership development. And leadership development is really all about developing yourself and helping others develop. So.
Yeah, I learned how to change receptacles when I was in construction. Hey, go change those. And you just keep getting shocked until you figure out how you don't get shocked when you do it. So it's a way. I don't necessarily agree with it, but it was a way. Going to be tough. You're going to be stupid. You got to be tough.
Right. There you go. That's some serious self-reflection going on. Yeah. That's tough. That's,
yeah.
Man. Oh, all right. Now, you mentioned corporate culture. Are you dealing with a lot of corporate companies? Who are you working with?
Actually, more so than that, I work with a lot of first-time leaders. And what that looks like in my area is working with entrepreneurs and small business owners. And usually what happens is they get into business because they're able to monetize something that they do really well or they love doing, and they start doing it and they realize, I can't do this alone. I'm getting a lot of clients or customers. I need to build a team. And they just start hiring people. And then before long, they just, it's almost like they wake up one day and go, wait a minute, I'm not doing what I was doing before. I'm not loving what I was doing. I am spending all my time managing a team, and I hired all these people so that I could free myself up, but I'm still doing a lot of the same work, and I still have this team of people that I'm leading and paying, and I'm still doing everything. And so that's the group that I work with the most.
Okay. Wow.
Yeah. And for a lot of people, I guarantee it's the hardest for them to not do the work and step back and manage the team.
That's right.
And that's, I think, the number one. And the problem is you get frustrated because they're not doing a good job, and you know you do a better job. Immediately they jump in and start doing the work, and then everyone's pissed because, what's this?
Laura, you and I have talked about this too, but like when training somebody or building somebody up skill-wise or anything like that, it's, you got to have that patience of like, I know I can do this in 5 seconds, but I will sit on the call for 30 minutes and let you figure it out, because that is more important for the long run, and that is tough.
Yes, it is. Yeah, because you can probably do it in 10 minutes and it would take you 30 minutes or an hour to train somebody else to do it. But that's thinking in the short term. And what we really have to do is shift to thinking long term. This is an investment. If you invest that 30 minutes or that 1 hour now and just a few more minutes following up and training, of course, it depends on what the task is and how big it is and all that. But the idea is, if I do that for 30 minutes or an hour today, then tomorrow I can spend less time doing that. And then maybe next month I'm not touching it at all and things are getting done. And that's a freaking amazing place to be. Once you experience that, you're like, okay, what else can I delegate?
Right.
All of it.
Yeah, yeah, everything. I need on the golf course.
I need some free cell time.
Right.
So let me ask this question. How long do you wait when you're trying to train a team before you realize that this isn't going to work? Like, what kind of method is in there to kind of weed out this is going to work or not going to work before you spend months trying to get someone up to speed that maybe it's just not the right job for them?
Wow, that's a good question.
Yes, that's a great question. And I'm going to back it up just a little bit, because it starts with hiring and making sure that you're hiring the person not only for their skills and their experience, their capacity, but also, are they a good fit for your team? Are they a culture fit? Once you hire them in, actually before you hire them, you should have somewhat of a plan together. And I think you and I have talked about this, Jack, where you already know what success looks like in that role. Like, you determine that before you ever hire someone. And if you haven't done that and you have people on your team, do it today. You know, it's not too late to start. But defining what success looks like in that role and sharing that and setting the expectations with that team member, it might be KPIs, it might be, this is what success looks like. You know, maybe if it's like somebody on a client success team, it's one of the KPIs or one of the areas of success might be that your response time is within 24 hours without fail, right? So that would be one of the things that you look at. And so, to take it back to your question, if you have those standards in place, then it's easy to see, are they hitting it or not? It's not a feeling, it's not an emotion, it's data.
Now we're talking. I'm back in the conversation now. My ears are perked up.
So it's a data-driven decision. Either they made the cut or not. But there's a lot of caveats. One is, as the business owner, it's your job to give them all the tools that they need to succeed, to set the expectations, and to set them up for success, to be there for feedback and check-ins. So one of the things that I find is that when people hire, they make the assumption that I hired somebody who's experienced. I can just put them in and hands off. and I don't have to do anything, they got it, right?
Right.
But that's not true. They don't know the way you do things. They aren't aware innately how your business runs and how you want things done or what's best for the team. So you actually should err on the side of, I'm assuming they don't know what they're doing, even though I hired them in for this. I'm going to take them through the process and set that expectation just in case.
Right.
And you get much better experience like that. Because otherwise, you have these expectations, you haven't communicated them, you haven't shown them, and they are never going to hit the mark if they don't know what the mark is.
It's better to err on the side of like, hey, this might be redundant, but here's how ABC works kind of thing.
Because right.
It's much easier to say like, oh, like I'm sure you know this, but like here's how we do it. And they might learn something.
Right.
But if you don't do that and then they're just going off doing their thing, you could get frustrated, which would frustrate them, which is just the bad cycle of like, why are you doing it that way? We do it this way. And nobody knows because you didn't set the expectation.
That's right.
Yeah.
So you plan their onboarding and their training before they ever come on, along with all those expectations and KPIs. And then one of the keys is to having a pretty tight feedback loop with whomever you hired. And you should do this for your whole team, but especially when they're first hired, depending on their role, I might have a touch point with them every day for the first week. And it might be twice a day. It might be in the morning and in the evening. Hey, how were things today? Okay, do you have any questions for tomorrow? Is there anything that you need for that or anything that you weren't able to wrap up today? And then you do it again the next day. And the reason for that is because if they are making errors or they don't have all the information that they need, you don't want to wait till the end of the week to find out or to the end of 30 days to find out.
Right.
That would be reinforcing wrong behaviors and maybe getting them into the zone of this is the right way to do it. They don't know that it's the wrong way. And now that's become the way for them to do it. So you can catch errors and mistakes a lot quicker when you're having those feedback loops. And it doesn't have to be a long meeting. It could just be like a 10 or 15 minute stand up, but having those feedback loops, but definitely weekly for the first 30 days. And then you can change that cadence if they are learning quickly, and you can make it further apart. If they are not learning quick enough, you might need to adjust your schedule and spend more time training them. But that's setting them up for success, and that's helping you because you are addressing things that are going to come up anyway, but you're doing it on your timeline and you're being proactive about it versus reactive.
Let's get them out of the zone of uncertainty into the zone of genius.
That's right.
I like it.
Yeah.
Okay. That's very cool.
Yeah. I mean, I know I've made the mistake in the past where my expectation was at least know the basics or, you know, for me, I have a hard time because it's that troubleshooting skill is, it's a hard skill to put your finger on to say, okay,
yeah,
there's a lot of information that needs to be sorted through and to be able to get through that the fastest and be able to do. My expectation, if you're kind of a tech, you should be able to at least do that part. I don't know how to train. I don't even know if you can train that. It's just a mental process that mm-hmm. either you kind of have it or you don't. You can learn it, but those are the kind of things where it's like, that's what I would be looking for is the troubleshooting skills or being able to take something that's not a process and go, okay, what am I looking at? Let's figure it out and then move on from there.
Yeah.
So that's a hard skill to find.
Well, yeah. I would say when we're spending time with them in that onboarding period, I'm not trying to teach them how to do their job, like the whatever the skill is, like you're saying with tech, like they need to bring that.
Yes.
But walking through the process of how we do things in our company, this is our culture and our core values, here are the expectations, and spending time with them, you might be looking over their shoulder and watching them do their work, especially if you hired somebody for a role that you don't have expertise in, and you might not have any knowledge in it. Like I'm helping a client hire for a digital marketing specialist right now, and I'm not a DMS. I know a little bit about marketing, but it's up to them when they come in to do the job well. I just want to make sure that they
doing
seem
it
knowledgeable
yeah,
and that they're doing,
doing
it
your way. Yeah,
yeah.
That's interesting. So like, and that goes back to what you're saying about the hiring process is good. Make sure that they're passing the test, so to speak, of the skill check.
Right.
And now your onboarding is really, here's how we do this. Let's make sure that you're in between the guardrails and this is how the team functions.
Right.
We know that you've got the skills. Let's make you also fit with the team and work with the team most effectively.
Yeah, and also finding out what is it that you need to do this job well. So the feedback is coming from them too, saying, hey, and it might be something amazing like, hey, I noticed that this is the process, but did you know that you could flip this one switch and we could do this 50% faster? Like hopefully the people that you're hiring are coming in to help make things better, not just keep you where you are, but advance what you're doing. So this gives them an opportunity to collaborate with you as you walk through it together.
Yeah.
Bringing on the detractors. That's always a fun time. That's good.
Yeah. It's funny as I just pulled in a new client. They're kind of a big corporate client. I have my friend working with me because it's sometimes you need two people. And I had him stacking up, like phones were pulling out. I said, make the stack neat. He goes, why? I'm like, because we're not making a mess. Like, that's not happening. Like, wherever we work, it's going to be cleaner than when we got there. That's just that's how I do it.
That's right.
I don't want anyone to ever walk into somewhere and go, man, who was in here? Like,
right.
The only way I want that word to come out is like, man, who was in here? Like, this place is immaculate. Like, that's the only thing I'll accept. But for him and in his mind, he's, we're going to move these three more times. Why do we care if it's a pile? I go, I care if it's a pile because I don't want someone to walk in here and go, who threw all these in here?
Yeah, you're not hiring the Tasmanian devil.
Yeah, I mean. Right. I don't care if we move it 10 times. That's on them. If they want us to move them 10 times, we'll move them 10 times, but it's going to look good every single time we move them.
Yeah. So that's one of those staples on the onboarding of like, hey, like, here's how we do things. Like, I know you can stack phones, but we stack them neatly.
That's yeah, right. Just don't make a mess. Like,
right.
If we got cables, zip tie them up, even if it's a stack of cables, just, it's not our house. Like,
right.
Just make it look nice, no matter what it is, even if it's just a pile of trash.
Take your shoes off when you walk in. Yeah.
Yeah. To me, that's my thing is just don't make, and it's hard to convey that. I get their side of it. We're going to move this 10 times and it's probably going to get thrown away anyway. What do we care? And it's like, it's just because it's not going to be us that does it.
Yeah.
Somebody else can make a mess, not us.
The customer cares.
Yeah.
That's what you care about.
Right. Or just me in general. Like, I'm just not going to do it. Like,
right.
No matter where I've worked or done, I could work in a 4-foot spot and it's spotless in that 4-foot spot. Like, it's noticeable that somebody was there, but it's noticeably clean.
Yeah. Right. That's good, though. I mean, that's one of those things, though, right? That's so in leadership, that's something that comes out in the onboarding process or in the ongoing process, I should even say, too. But that's also a pretty good thing to have in general, like just the organization.
Yeah, it's just my policy. Yeah. I shoot for perfection. And if you don't make it there, at least it's really good.
Yeah.
That's a core value.
Yeah.
And so you're talking with people, when you're spending time with your team, then that's an opportunity for you to make sure that those core values are adhered to, that you're actually living them out and they're not just something on a wall that people say, hey, that's cool.
Right. Yeah, that's so true. That's the core value. Like, it's, I feel like in every corporate thing, it's just that thing on the wall and like,
Stupid pictures.
Exactly.
Achieve.
Exactly. And some dude with a thumbs up being like, yeah. And in the small business world, they actually mean something. And so
yes.
How do you help folks establish their core values? Like, do you have a templated, I mean, you're all about the SOPs and templates. So what do you got for us?
Yeah. So the rule of thumb, I always say, if you don't know what your core values are, then think about all the things that light you up, the things that bring you energy, that you love. And on the opposite end of the spectrum, the things that really make you mad, the things that anger you, make you furious. The inverse of those things are your core values.
Being forced to be on a podcast. Yeah,
yeah,
it's all on the list.
Like that.
Okay, so what really lights you up? Not like, oh, like this is fun part of my job, but like you get jazzed up and you don't mind working on it at midnight kind of thing.
Right. Yeah, you can work on it and lose time and forget that you're doing it. Or when you talk about it, we talked about this earlier, when you talk about it, you get more passionate. Like your voice lights up. People see it in your behavior and your posture. Those are the things that are core values for you. Like for you, you were talking about, I want it to be in order. I want it organized. I want zip ties. So your core value is probably something about being organized or doing excellent work.
Yeah, just exceed whatever the expectation is, exceed it.
Okay, so that's your core value, exceeding expectations.
Yeah.
What makes you mad?
People not exceeding. Or
so that's the inverse of that.
Well, that and just sometimes client relations can be difficult because what you know they should be doing is not what they want to be doing just because they feel like, yeah, I don't need that. And it's like
people that don't listen.
Yeah, not even that. It's just, it's more of you can't deliver the product that you should be, so you don't meet those expectations, my own expectations. Like, I know you need these things to have a successful onboarding and maintenance program, but you only want one part of it. It's like going to get your oil change and the tires are all bald and you get pissed because you got a flat tire halfway down the road and you blame it on the mechanic. It's like,
right, right.
We told you they were bald when you left.
Exactly. Yeah. Okay. So I'm trying to pin, like, what is that core value? What's
It's just part of the what I want to deliver, and you just can't. So those kind of things, you just I've found over the years, if you can't deliver the product you want to deliver, it's just not the right thing. You just walk away and go about.
I think what it is, you know that the result they want is going to come through this product, and they're not going to get the result they want because they went with something less.
Yeah, we're not going to get, either one of us is not going to get what we want.
Right.
Nobody's happy, yeah.
Yeah, no one will be happy, and that's the problem that we run into is when nobody's happy, it reflects on us and not them.
Right.
Or not even not them, it's just, it reflects on you, and then you get a bad name because they didn't take the recommendations.
And I think that goes back to exceeding expectations, actually.
Yeah. Yeah.
I think it all loops in together.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yes, I mean, I can accept less than perfection very easily.
Yeah.
But it's, you know, sometimes it's just the way things work out, and this is what you're left with. But if you can deliver that best product, then why wouldn't you?
Yeah. I was in a conversation the other day, and like, I was talking about a networking event that like, I should have talked to more people, and like, oh, I should have like given out a business card and all that stuff. And I like, my one employee was with me. I was like, oh, like, I should have done more. But, like, you had a good time. Like, oh, blah, 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 blah. People like, oh, like, it such sounds like you wanted to be in like 8 places at once. I was like, yeah, I've never met an expectation that I've ever set for myself, but I'm always striving, to your point, for a perfection pretty much. If I fall a little bit short of that, I'm okay with it. But if I set a low target and achieve it, I don't get lit up for achieving the low goal.
Yeah, you don't feel like a sense of accomplishment.
Yeah.
Lowered expectations.
I want to sell $20 worth of things this month. I can do that. I don't care about that. I want to sell $1 million and I'll fall short of that, but I'd rather do that.
Yeah. That's a high-performing mindset right there.
Yeah? Okay. You hear that? I'm a high performer. Or at least I got the mindset of one.
The mind's there. The body hasn't followed. Right.
That's good. What else? I don't know. We're close to time here. So what's any general leadership advice for small businesses? I know you and I have talked a lot, and maybe it's zone of genius. Maybe it's having those crucial conversations. Maybe it's find some order out of the chaos. I don't know. I'm just digging back to the, doing some callbacks here. But what are you thinking? Small business.
Yeah. Cloning.
Cloning. Only hire people like you. Got it.
Oh, no, don't do that.
Yeah, that would be the worst thing. Everything would be 80%.
Right.
So one of the things that comes up consistently is when I'm working with people for the first time is finding, and actually in the long term too, is I find that there's a failure to set expectations up front many times. Like I said about hiring somebody in and assuming that they know what they're doing and sending them off, and you know, they're going to fall short because they don't know what you wanted, what success looks like. So just, you know, clarifying what the expectations are and then giving feedback so that people know, hey, am I doing a good job or not? The other thing that I would highly suggest, is that if you're developing yourself as a leader, make sure that you're taking your team along with you. I've seen organizations where the leader's always in masterminds, getting coaching, doing all these things to make themselves better, and then they get busy in the business and they don't bring it back personally to the team, and or they're not giving the team that same kind of personal or self-development. And so if the leader keeps growing, he's going to leave the team behind.
Mm-hmm.
If the team is growing without the leader doing it, same thing. So what you want to do is have some synergy there and have everybody learning and growing together so that you're all rising at the same level and you're speaking the same kind of language.
I like it. All right, so summary bullet points, set expectations, constant feedback, and grow together.
Yes.
I like it. You hear that, small business owners out there? Set expectations, continuous feedback, grow together.
Yep.
That's not bad.
Exactly. And you will get results.
Yeah. And you will achieve almost perfect results as long as you're organized.
At least brilliance.
At least brilliance. There we go.
Yeah.
Where can the folks find out more about you, Laura?
Probably the best place is going to be on LinkedIn.
Okay.
And will you have that link somewhere in the show notes?
We will now. Yeah.
That's
awesome. That would be great. You can also go to brilliantmethods.com and get some information there as well.
Find your zone of genius, everybody. Thank you very much to Old Mecklenburg Brewery over here in Loso. They got like 18 locations coming up, so we got a chat at the B location here. They're doing great.
Oso.
Loso. Lower South End. I don't know. It's what the kids are calling. I don't know. They scooter here. Thank you very much, Laura, and thank you to OMB.
Thank
See y'all you. Next week.
It's great to be here.
If I had a perfect day, I would have it start this way. Open up the fridge and have a tall boy. Yeah.